Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. As always, I am Jason Ophir here with Sherry Pang. Sherry, how's it going?
Hey, pretty good, Jason. How are you?
Not too bad. I actually had a busy week. You know, and this is completely not related to the paranormal. I've had terrible vision for at least 20 years. I mean, really bad. Like seeing double and I've always just adjusted to it. And it's always been kind of sketchy for me because I ride a motorcycle and, you know, I'm riding half blind at night in the rain. And somehow over the last decade, I've managed to survive doing that. So I finally, because I have good medical insurance, decided to get my eyes checked and get that all squared away. And so I went in and, you know, they do all their fancy stuff. I think the last eye exam I had was, you know, 20 years ago, where you just look through this thing and they switch the lenses. But I go into this place and they have all these fancy machines. They were like taking pictures of the insides of my eyeballs and all this other crazy stuff, checking eye pressure. And so apparently my left eye, like I would be legitimately legally blind in my left eye, and my right eye, you know, isn't faring much better.
Wow, I'm surprised you can drive, Jason.
I'm surprised I can too. So I ended up getting glasses, and you know, I'm still trying to adjust to those. But you know, when I put them on, it's like there's a whole new world to me. It's really, really
bizarre. Really,
I've been
used to it, that it hasn't really affected you, huh? That's great, though.
I mean, it's everything so clear now. I did, you know, it's like a blind man seeing for the first time. Not quite as bad, but it kind of like that, because I could see so much clearer.
Well, I've seen, you know, on the internet where people, they've been born colorblind. And then they have these special glasses that you order and you can see colors. And it's amazing where you see these people have been with all their life, you know, 30, 40 years, 60, whatever, able to see colors for the first time.
It's amazing technology. I bet you all this fancy technology that we have now is probably derived from a crashed UFO somewhere, you know.
I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, boy. So if anybody would like to go and call in and have any questions or would like a one question psychic reading, I would be happy to help you. Just any comments or any experiences in the paranormal or the supernatural, we'd be happy to have any listeners call in at 1-215-383-3999. That's 1-215-383-3999.
Yeah, so we're kind of winging it tonight. It's open lines, and yeah, if anybody wants to join the conversation, give that a call. And so we're just going to kind of talk about whatever. I guess it doesn't even necessarily need to be paranormal. So Sherry, have you come across anything?
Not really. Did you see the post that I did on our Facebook page? It was about the aliens, how the aliens, they've been what's happening is they've been seeing what's been happening with us, and they think we're, I don't mean to say this, but they think we're pretty lower level as far as our intelligence goes.
It wouldn't surprise me. I'd probably tend to agree. We're kind of animals, unpredictable and violent.
I had a post about the aliens, how they see of us, and it was really quite interesting. And I do want to note that anything that Jason or I post is not necessarily our beliefs or our opinions or thoughts. It's just something that is entertaining. It may be something for learning, or it could be something, you know, just for to laugh at, but it's just for entertainment purposes.
Absolutely. Well, you know me, I'm Mr. Skeptic, so everything that gets posted I scrutinize, but I can't help it.
I know, Jason, you've been like that ever since I met you.
I know, right? But one of the things, you know, you posted that live broadcast on our Facebook page, that was paranormal investigation or something?
Yeah.
That almost went viral. I couldn't believe how many shares and how many people viewed that.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
So you want to tell people? We had, I think it was very close to 1,000 people viewed that particular one.
Yeah, that's a lot, in my opinion. It seems like.
Is there? I don't know anybody. I don't know anything about that. If that's a lot, that's pretty good. Well, we're going to be returning with them, joint on Sunday, July 16th. We'll be live with Octagon with the paranormal group in Kentucky. So, Night Stalkers Paranormal Research Group is their name. Very, very good friends of ours. Know their stuff. They've been around the business for a lot of years. Barry Gott is the lead person, and he's had over 40 years in the paranormal and the supernatural field.
I think 1,000 views is a lot because I don't know how the Facebook algorithms work. You know, it's not like when you post something, it doesn't go out to everybody that's liked your page. It's like, it's really bizarre. You know, some posts seem to only go out to like a handful of people and other posts, more people. It's really weird.
Do you think it's regulated, to be honest with you, Jason? That's something we can talk about. Do you find that you think Facebook can be very regulated and they pick and choose what they want other people to see?
Oh, I know it's regulated. I mean, that's why you have – I think I've read articles in the past about it. A lot of people were complaining that people weren't seeing posts. And, you know, you can advertise your posts, but you have to pay money for it to ensure that the post is going out to more people. So, you know, it's a money thing, as anything else in life.
That's a scam. Totally.
Yeah, so the posts are restricted, but there's probably some sort of programming in there to where some posts will actually go out to more people, and it might have to do with shares or views or something, some weird thing in there that lets it get out a little bit more. But if you really want to get something seen, then you see those ads that say, hey, pay $5 and we'll show this to 1,000 people, kind of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, depending on what the purpose is, that might be a good thing, especially, you know, if you have a business, you might want to go and spend the $5 or, you know, $10. I heard you can have a limit. You know, you can have a $5 a day or whatever, $1 a day or whatever it is, but you also have a limit of total, you know, $30 you want to spend and you're going to reach a certain amount of people. So it's going to cost you either way.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it just depends on the circumstances. If you're trying to get people to like your page or whatever and you have the extra money lying around, why not?
Yeah, exactly. It's true. Well, I did find the post, and it says, this is interesting, it says, you people believe this alien. I believe he's reptilian. He looks like a reptilian, but I'm not sure. It says, you people believe in a man who walked on the water and flew to heaven, body and soul, but you do not believe in us. You people are ridiculous. That's what it said.
I did see that, and I thought it was absolutely hilarious, but I didn't share it. I thought it might offend somebody.
Well, you know, Jason, what about that E.T. that they put that E.T. dummy in the car? And it got pulled over. I didn't read about it, but I should have. But I thought it was quite interesting, I should say.
Yeah, I think the person was brilliant. Somebody got one of these life-size ET dolls, and I guess when you're talking about life-size, it's probably 4 feet tall because, alien grays are allegedly short. And they got pulled over, and I think the police officer, you know, got a kick out of that. An alien in the passenger seat. I'm sure it turned lots of heads. It sounds like something
I'm
that
sure
I would
it
do.
Did. Oh, geez, that's crazy. Oh, boy. So, yeah, it's our world is just moving along, and all we can do is just be positive as much as we can and just move through it. That's all we can do.
Yeah, I just kind of live day by day, that, you know, seems like there's a lot of positive things that have been going on in my life. I don't know, maybe the energy's changed. Everything was kind of previously, you know, last month and the months previous to that just seemed kind of down, and lots of transitions, not all for the good. And things have seemed to click. Can't even talk right now. Click for me a little bit better this month, and good things are happening. So I'm hopefully those things will maintain. I'm looking at a candidate to get a new job, and so I'm trying to keep positive about that, because you know normally I'm kind of negative, but we've talked to guests in the past to where you know thoughts are things and you manifest and that sort of thing, and so I'm trying to stay positive, and hopefully I can get this new job, which would be awesome. It's as the listeners may or may not know, I think I've mentioned it in the past, I work in a laboratory, and I work in processing. So basically all the specimens that come in, blood, sputum, stool, whatever it is, needs to be processed before it gets on the machines to be tested. And that environment is crazy because I work in a regional laboratory. So it's crazy. I do enjoy it. I'm actually an auditor, so I check other people's work to ensure the, you know, the safety of the patients, because, you know, anytime there's an error having to do with testing, it can have dramatic ramifications for the patient. So that's what I do, but I was looking to do something a little bit more specialized in a specialized department. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. So everybody keep your fingers crossed for me. I've had the phone interview, and I should be getting a call shortly, hopefully, for a in-person interview. So I'm trying to remain positive about that.
I hope so, Jason. What job is it? What are you going to be doing, hopefully? We're looking at a positive side on this. What are you looking for?
Well, right now, even though I'm an auditor, I'm basically, my title is lab assistant. I'm just a lab assistant. I'm a lab assistant one. So what that job would be, if I were to get it, is basically a promotion and working in a specialized department. So I'd be a lab assistant two working in, and that department just happens to be histology.
What is that?
That has to do with, like, you know, the they look at, like, skin under the microscope, skin cells, cancer, that sort of thing.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's,
so, you know,
that's neat. I'm hoping that you can get it. When will you find out?
I don't know. I'm hoping this week I'll get a call about an in-person interview. I really have little doubt that I'll get the in-person interview. I suppose it's possible, but I'm sure I'll get an in-person interview. So, but, you know, there's a lot of competition for that position. I know personally know like 6 or 7 people that also applied for it and also had the phone interview. But what's not to love about Jason Ophir? There's no reason they shouldn't choose me for that job, right?
Hey, think positive, Jason. Think like you
got
right. The job.
Positive vibes. Positive.
You know, hey, expect the worst and hope for the best. That's what you can do.
Absolutely.
Do.
And boy, I tell you, I love, you know, I spent so many years, you know, catching shoplifters and employees stealing and dealing with that and dealing with negative people. I think I did it for like 18 years. And boy, I find the lab fascinating. I mean, even when I go to work still, it's fascinating. Just the technology and the amounts of tests. There's tests that I've never even heard of that I hear or see, you know, every other day.
Wow.
And it's crazy because, you know, I've been there for a couple of years, and just the amount of tests that can be run on specimens is incredible. Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah, technology has really gone pretty far for the last 10 years, you know? Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And the machinery that they use to do the tests is, you know, these just super expensive. I guess that's why healthcare is so expensive, one of the reasons. But it's really amazing, the healthcare and laboratories and testing and everything like that.
Wow. Yeah.
So. But anyways,
okay.
None of that is paranormal.
That's okay. It's okay. It's just kind of random, you know, today. I love it. You know, you and I get a chance to be on radio. There's not really an agenda. It's just, you know, kind of go with the flow. It's nice because, you know, it's something, and we get a chance of having our view, you know, our listeners or our viewers to be able to listen and call in or share or whatever. So, But being the 4th of July, I'm not surprised, especially in the Pacific Northwest, where people are already heading out to the coast. Don't you think, Jason?
Yeah, the weather's been really, really warm lately.
It's
and
been
I
really,
bet everybody's
really
running
nice.
Out to the rivers.
Really? Yeah, I'd be going to the coast. Yeah, my favorite. I don't know if I have a favorite, but I like going to, like, Lincoln City or Newport, somewhere around there.
Yeah,
what's
I kind of have
favorite?
To. Well, you know, there's casinos out that way, so I have to be careful. So, you know, it's typically significantly cooler at the coast, like 15 degrees. So when it gets really hot in Portland, people run to the rivers and they run to the coast. But if I go to the coast, I'm going to have a hard time not pulling into the casino and, you know, getting my fix of slot machines. So it's probably best I don't.
I seem to always have bad luck with those things. You know, I'll plunk in, you know, $10, $20, and within 5 minutes, I'm done. You know, it's gone. I never seem to have much luck when it comes to those kind of things. I don't know why.
Oh, not me. I totally get into it, like, obsessively. It's terrible.
Oh, my goodness. So, do we have anything that, a topic that you want to talk about or go through or anything, Jason?
Well, I did pull something up, it's not really paranormal. It's not paranormal at all, but I found it interesting. And since it's open lines, we can talk about whatever. But, you know, there's some mysterious things that have happened on Mount Everest. And, you know, that's the tallest mountain in the world, at least above ground. I think the Marianas Trench might be even deeper than Everest is tall, or it's about the same or close. But I almost said Mount St. Helens. Why did I say that? Mount Everest is 29,000 feet tall, and as you know, people from all over the world like to climb it, and it's dangerous because there's a lack of oxygen once you get really high up there, and many, many people have died on Mount Everest. But one of the creepiest things that I found about Mount Everest and watching various documentaries is that, you know, when somebody dies up there, they just leave the body there. There's bodies all over Everest because it's too difficult to get the bodies down. So people that hike there are walking by the bodies of you know, climbers that have died in the past. It's really, really odd to me. I mean, could you imagine climbing a mountain and just, you know, passing other people that have had accidents? People, all sorts of things, you know, people fall, people get hypothermia, people get hypoxia because of lack of oxygen and crazy stuff like that. And so I found some stories about Everest. What do you think about that?
Well, that'd be great. I'm trying. Yes, go for it. And I've got a couple things myself, but it's not very long. Well, it could be, but yes, go. Yeah, sounds very interesting, Jason. Go for it.
So apparently, there's this guy who tried to climb Mount Everest in high heels. What would it compel somebody to do that?
Oh my goodness! How far did he get?
Everest has attracted many fanatics and eccentrics and colorful characters over the years, but no one has been quite so out there as an Englishman, Maurice Wilson. In 1933, Wilson hatched a plan to fly into the northern slopes of Everest and crash land his plane. Why would you intentionally crash land a plane into a mountain and then solo climb to the summit? So this guy was basically intentionally going to crash his plane and then do a solo climb to the summit. He ended up training in Britain, hiking, learning to fly in a gypsy moth plane before spending the winter in Darjeeling, where he prepared for his climb by fasting and praying, which he believed it would be enough to see him out to the peak. Eventually, he abandoned the plane idea when realizing his folly. So he was like, oh, this is a bad idea. Why crash a plane? It's so ridiculous.
Interesting.
Yeah. It just clicked with him one day. Hey, this is a bad idea. Why would I crash a plane intentionally into a mountain? Wilson set off on foot across the Rongbuk Glacier on May 22, 1934, but he was eventually blocked by an ice wall, and he had a lack of climbing equipment or experience. His last diary entry was made on May 30th, and his body was found the following year dressed, it is claimed, in women's lingerie. Yeah. In 1960, a Chinese team found a woman's high-heeled shoe near where Wilson perished, and it was later discovered that he, in fact, had been a cross-dresser, having worked in a woman's clothing store in New Zealand before becoming possessed by the Everest mania, which would ultimately lead to his death. So it appears, based on the evidence found at the body, that he was actually trying to climb it in high heels. And unfortunately, due to his lack of experience and equipment, he perished. And so, yeah,
wow.
People never cease to amaze me.
That's interesting. People, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I guess had he been successful, he would have been the first to be able to, yeah.
I wonder what was going on in his mind when he was thinking about that. I have no idea.
I mean, cross-dressing is fine and all, but, you know, I mean, it's not my thing, but to climb a mountain doing it, I just don't understand the logic.
Yeah, what was he trying to prove? I don't know. Just trying to be eccentric, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, you know, everybody's got to be the first at something. Why not cross-dressing on Mount Everest and climbing it in high heels? Why not?
Exactly.
I'm sure people have done stranger things. In fact, I'm positive of that because people are generally weird. So did you know that...
Anyway, it's all kinds.
Did you know that a Yeti has been spotted on Mount Everest?
No.
In fact, many of the earliest recorded sightings of the Yeti derive from the Everest region, and there's a lot of folklore with the local Nepalese and Tibetan tribes telling of a bipedal nocturnal creature living in their midst. In more recent times, various sightings, footprints, and even DNA evidence have gone a long way towards substantiating the claims of the region's storytellers. Notable examples include the enormous footprints found at 20,000 feet by Eric Shipton in 1951. Apparently he had an expedition and found a lot of footprints at 20,000 feet, which is interesting. Like, if somebody was going to fake it, like when people say they find footprints in the forest down here, you know, I tend to think that they're all fake. But for somebody to go through that up at 20,000 feet would be a little extreme. Assuming the guy that reported it wasn't actually faking the whole thing. I guess he could do that and say he found a huge footprint and didn't. And with people, you never know. But yeah, it's interesting. So a lot of that derives from Everest, and so it's interesting. So who knows? There might be a I think the other name is Abominable Snowman.
Okay.
I think the Yeti, the word for the Yeti, is from that region, and you know we call it Bigfoot down here in the States, but I think over in Tibet and Himalayas, that's where the actual word Yeti comes from. But they're probably the same kind of creature. I don't know. I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, like you said, there's so much fakery out there. You just don't know if it's real or not. It's just interesting to, you know, when people bring these things up, it's interesting. But, you know, without having doing some research or having people that are knowledgeable in that field, you just don't know.
Speaking of fakery, remember we did that show a while back and I was talking about all these weird games that raise spirits and demons, and I don't remember specifically. It was the one I was talking about, like Bloody Mary and all these other weird ones. Remember that?
I remember that.
Well, I was on YouTube and I found a channel where somebody was doing a lot of the rituals that I had talked about. And
wow.
Of course, all this crazy paranormal stuff was happening. You know, objects were moving, doors were closing. And, you know, it's clearly fake, but that's the issue I have with the paranormal is people are just creating this fakery and passing it off as real, and it drives me crazy. It does absolutely nothing for the paranormal community, you know. It does nothing to help further the evidence that's out there when people, you know, basically are creating a mockery of the paranormal. It drives me nuts.
Yep, that's true. You know, from UFOs to aliens, all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah, you just don't know.
Yeah, it's out of control. It's impossible to know what to believe anymore. Like,
well, you know, what's your take on this, Jason? I put it on a post way back, I don't know, a couple months ago, but it was talking about alcohol consumption and demonic possession. And they believe, you know, they say that, you know, alcohol are spirits, and can, that's the slang term. But, you know, when a person blacks out, they believe that, you know, an entity can go into that other person and make that person a different person than they're normal, than they normally would be. So I don't know, but they're talking about, you know, having alcohol consumption, any type of alcohol consumption can break down your auric field, your energy field, to the point where entities can possess your body. Do you believe in that?
I remember talking about it in the past, you know, anybody dabbling in the paranormal, Ouija boards, tarot, whatever, and drugs, opening people up to be susceptible to demonic attack. I personally don't believe that. I mean, I know, like you said, alcohol is called spirits, and I don't know. I have a hard time buying the fact that because somebody gets intoxicated, it makes them more susceptible to that, because I'm skeptical to begin with. I mean, you know, these are drugs that have an effect on the brain, and strange things, of course, can happen. And if somebody blacks out from alcohol and they end up doing something terrible, I can't just say that it's, you know, some spirits took advantage of the fact that they were blacked out and made them do it. I tend to believe that, you know, they blacked out and just have no memory of being crazy, you know, doing crazy stuff. That makes more sense,
right,
to me.
And the person is responsible for their behaviors. It's like using in that, is that possibly using that as an excuse, you know? Is that mean that just because the person is so-called possessed means that they're not responsible for their behaviors? You know, that I just, you know, there, you can look at both sides to it. You know, I can understand it may lower your inhibitions or whatever, but I, you know, to think that anybody who drinks or does drugs, you're prone to having demonic possession. I don't know. You know, I'm just saying that it's just a question that is something to be, you know, to be considered anyway.
Well, one of my friends was murdered by a meth addict, and I have no sympathy for the fact that he was under the influence of any narcotic. You are responsible for your actions, period, and there's no excuse, because you choose to put that in your body, and when you do that, you're accepting responsibility for your actions. I mean, we're all responsible for what we say and what we do, and if you're, in my opinion, dumb enough to put something like that in your body, then it's your fault. You can't blame it on supernatural or anything like else. It changes the brain chemistry.
It probably has
an effect on your thought process. It probably, certain drugs probably have an effect on aggression and all that. And, you know, it's your fault. There's no excuses.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you, Jason. Yeah, I just been reading a couple of those things about that, what demonic possession and how, you know, alcohol consumption or drug consumption can, you know, play a part in maybe that, you know, possession or entities or something. So that's something to be explored. I would like to, yeah, it'd be interesting. But, yeah, it makes people scared. I think they try to scare you. Don't drink. Don't do drugs, you know. Which
yeah,
is not a good thing anyway, but, you know, it's so prevalent in our society that, you know, it's more often more people do those things than they don't. I'm just guessing that. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm guessing that, you know, everybody has either tried it or has, you know, consumed or whatever, so.
I wish I could tell you that the reason I quit drinking completely 5 years ago was because I was afraid of demonic possession.
Now the truth comes out. Now,
When I was drinking every night, I saw spirits and demons, and I decided that's why I quit, because the demons and the ghosts were coming after me. Actually, the reason I quit was because it's unhealthy. Yeah. The walls. I was starting to see little girls climbing
and
on the walls.
They were attacking you. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, terrifying.
Well, I don't have to worry about that. You know, being a runner, I don't do drugs or drink, so I want to be clean and, you know, as much as possible, being able to go and enjoy life. So that's where I'm at, you know.
Well, and that's what I think is that, or the position I'm trying to take is that when you take drugs, yeah, they're enjoyable and fun, but I think that, you know, to truly enjoy life is you need to get to a place where you enjoy it, where you don't have to be dependent on substances. Because
exactly.
I think that there's enough enjoyment to be had, you know, with just our regular experience without doing those sorts of things.
Exactly. Well, I don't know about you, Jason, if you have anything else to talk about right offhand, but I came up with, you know, and I'm just going to go over just a few things, and we all have this. It's just going to be really short because there's other things. Check out, and I don't know if you ever have a chance, check out, this is a really good website. It's called Unexplained Mysteries. And they have an encyclopedia. It's interesting. Go online, and they have all these different things. But something bizarre. Toilets chase pedestrians through Moscow. Can you believe that? How bizarre can that be?
That's
and they did talk
strange.
About the aliens. They did talk about the alien in the car.
I think I thought there was a video out there, and I think what they were talking about was I think it was windy, and I remember seeing a bunch of porta potties like sliding around all over the place. Is that the same
thing?
That's
what it shows on this website. Absolutely. That's what it looks like on this picture. I didn't go open it up, but that's what it looks like. A bunch of porta potties, and it looks like it's windy.
That's funny. I guess
gosh, it's crazy.
I guess the title of the article isn't inaccurate. You know, if you have porta potties being pushed by the wind, then people legitimately could be being chased by toilets.
Boy, yeah. So what do you think about the bees? That, you know, they're talking about bees, how bees are actually collapsing. What do you think is going on? The honeybees, the wild bees, all the bees are... You know, this has been going on for, what, the last 4 or 5 years that they noticed that the bee population is diminishing.
Yeah, I've heard about that. It wouldn't surprise me. Unfortunately, bees are kind of important for pollinating other plants. I'm not a botanist or entomologist or whatever, so I don't really know how all that works. But from what I understand, you know, if we lose the bees, we're in some serious trouble. But I haven't seen any stories recently regarding that. Were there some stories circulating?
No. Well, I just saw this in there in Natural World, a major study investigate the bee population collapse. And it was just published on June 30th. So the research has indicated that the pesticides are harmful to both honeybees and wild bees. Boy, you know what? I wish they can kill the hornets, the wasps, and the yellow jackets. Keep the honeybees and the wild bees, but the wasp and the, like I said, the wasp and the honey, the wasps and the hornets and the yellow jackets, they can kill them all. They can diminish that population to nothing, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Why do the yellow jackets get to live? Those things are nasty. I've been stung by those a few times riding my motorcycle, and you know, whenever you're riding a motorcycle and, you know, you're going 50, 60 miles an hour and something gets inside your jacket or helmet, boy, that definitely wakes you up, let me tell you.
Oh, boy. Did you get stung on the face or the neck?
I've been stung pretty – 1 week I was stung like 5 times. I think I got stung on the neck. I've been stung on the hand, stung in the leg. I've never been stung in the face, but fortunately for me, I'm not allergic to it. I know several years ago there was a motorcycle run that was really out in the middle of nowhere, and somebody got stung, And they had the EpiPen, you know, the epinephrine that you give to cancel out the allergic reaction. But they ended up dying. That's terrible.
Oh, that what a horrible death.
Wow. I know.
Yeah, I get a really, I get a bad case of hives, really. And so I take Benadryl. And, you know, I don't like doing drugs, but, you know, they say if you're hiving all over, take Benadryl. And I end up having to do that. And it happens to fall on a weekend, mind you, because the doctors are not in. So, you know, I called up, hey, if you have any questions, call any pharmacist. They'll be happy to help you. Most of them are. But they said, oh, yeah, take Benadryl. It did help. That happened probably about 5 years ago. Yeah, I got stung by a bee, yellow jackets, as a matter of fact. They come in really fierce, probably about August, September, October. They seem to know they're going to die, so they're going to attack as many people as they can. They're meteors anyway. So anyway, got stung 3 times by a yellow jacket on my foot, and I I recovered, but it took like 3 weeks before the swelling went down. It was crazy. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, when that time around, I'm indoors. I don't even go out. Like tonight, if it's nice and everything, especially with the mosquitoes and you're out in the country, I love the country. I love living in it. But, boy, the mosquitoes, they just wreak havoc, you know, between the fleas and the mosquitoes. They love my blood. So I'm indoors. I don't even go and enjoy outside. Not at all.
Well, I've been a recluse as well. I enjoy air conditioning a little too much. But I want to remind the listeners, anybody wants to call in and talk about the paranormal or whatever, you can call 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999. And just also another reminder that this show is rebroadcast on 106.5 KITC-FM and 107.1 KNCP in Central Oregon. And, yeah, we're just kind of hosh-posh all around the map on any subject. Paranormal or not, and I also I still had some more Everest stuff if we run out of stuff to talk about.
Go for it.
In 1952, this was before Hillary and Tenzing's famous ascent. I guess those were the two guys that first made it to the top of Everest. A Russian expedition supposedly attempted to climb Everest by the north route in Tibet. News reports at the time even suggested that this optimistic bunch planned on mounting statues at the top of Lenin and Stalin at the summit. That's ambitious, taking statues to the top of Mount Everest.
Yeah.
They made their final camp at around 8,000 meters, which is about 26,000 feet, which, according to my memory, is about 3,000 feet below the summit. They were preparing to make it to the summit, and they just suddenly disappeared. People are just disappearing on Mount Everest like crazy, apparently. Would you ever do that? Would you ever?
No.
Climb?
No,
like
not
Kate?
At all. One of my runners who has now deceased. Unfortunately, we lost him in unfortunate circumstances. He did. He's a climber. He used to be a lead climber in the Mazamas. Mazamas is a climbing group over in Mount Hood, and he was a lead climber. He's climbed a lot of places in Peru, down. I can't imagine how many places he has climbed. But Everest, he lost. How many digits did he lose? One, two. I think he lost three digits, and he couldn't get to the top. I think there's so many different layers, you know, tiers, camps, so many. You go one camp, and then you go a certain amount of feet, thousands of feet, then you go to a second camp. He was from base camp. He only made it to the second camp, after base camp, he made it only to the second tier, and he had to come down. And he lost. He had hyperthermia. He lost 3 digits. So yeah, he's a very experienced climber. So yeah, it's too dangerous. It's just there's so many variables. Who you're with, the temperature, stress. There's so many different things. What the climate is on the hill. You know, there's just so many different factors.
I wonder for the if the the climbers that die up there, if their spirits haunt the mountain, and that kind of leads me into.
I don't know. They probably do. I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, how crappy would that be? You know, you're hiking and you die on a mountain, and you just haunt the mountain.
You know, a good thing about that, Jason, is that you know they're doing something they love to do. You know that, and maybe trying to think of something positive out of that experience, even though they died, you know, maybe they died as something they loved doing. So that could be a positive thing.
Yeah, it just amazes me how people challenge themselves and put themselves at great risk to accomplish their goals. But you're right, if that's what they enjoy doing, we all enjoy. That's the one wonderful thing about being human is we all enjoy doing different things. The things that I enjoy, there are people that absolutely hate it. You know.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's very challenging, and you know, it's everybody's different. Everybody's different. Okay, I got something, Jason. Did you hear about that couple? They were on Facebook and other places. The couple in the Scottish borders that have struggled to find a nanny that will stay in their haunted home.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, they were gonna pay a big sum of money. Let me read this to you. It says, a couple in the Scottish borders have struggled to find a nanny that will stay in their haunted home. With a $64,000 a year paycheck and the chance to live inside a luxurious historical Scottish country mansion, the job might seem ideal for anyone looking to earn a living as a live-in nanny. Bizarrely, however, the couple who owns the building have been struggling to find a nanny who will stay the course due to the amount of paranormal activity that has been occurring there. We have lived in our home for nearly 10 years, the couple says. We were told it was haunted when we bought it, but kept it in our minds open and decided to buy the house regardless. Five nannies have left the role in the last year, each citing supernatural incidents as the reason, including strange noises, broken glass, and furniture moving. Despite these setbacks, however, the pair are hoping to find someone who will stay. We haven't personally experienced any supernatural happenings, as they have been reported only while we've been out of the house, but we're happy to pay above the asking rate and feel it's important to be upfront as possible to find the right person, they wrote. We are keen to find the perfect long-term nanny, so if you'd like to be considered for this rewarding and exciting position, please get in touch with us. Compliments of BBC News.
Hey, if somebody wants to pay me $64,000 a year to be a nanny, I would totally do it, and I would put up with the haunted activity. I mean, if you're just talking about noises. Well,
did
I don't have a passport, but... Yeah, I think if the circumstances were right, I would do that.
Would
especially,
okay.
I would be, if it was in the States, I would definitely be more ample. I don't particularly want to move overseas, but if the same offer held true somewhere, you know, locally or somewhere, really anywhere in the United States except for New York, because I can't stand New York or Chicago, but any other place, Texas, anywhere, yeah, I would totally move and do that.
Oh, wow. Dave. Huh. Well,
yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to do one more thing before we go. And the Haunted Hotel has the world's largest Ouija board. The giant board even has its own planchette. The Grand Midway Hotel in Pennsylvania is home to what is officially the largest Ouija board on Earth. Built more than a century ago, the Grand Midway Hotel has managed to attract the attention of numerous paranormal investigators, authors, and television producers over the last few years. The Grand Midway Hotel was an oil mining hotel from the late 1880s, said filmmaker Blair Murphy, who currently lives in the building. I could recall countless ghost encounter stories from folks who have stayed there the night. It's actually been a fascinating place to live. Blair came up with this idea of building a giant Ouija board on the roof of the hotel after having his own experience with a regular size board a couple years earlier. Things flipped out. Things flipped out throughout the hotel, he said. It seemed to kick things up in an entire new level of paranormal activity. We're seeing people floating in the airs and hearing voices, and even the hotel pets were flipping out and reacting to unseen forces. The giant version of this board, which is built along with the help of 8 artists, measures a whopping 121.01 square meters and even features its own giant planchette. The hotel roof was the massive blank canvas just waiting for the perfect project to present itself, he said. A Ouija board, well-rugged roof, was a perfect match for this place. What'd you think about that? Wow, that's kind of interesting.
I wonder if size matters in that case. I mean, is it going to open up?
I don't think so.
Like.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's something new. Never heard of that. Wow.
Well, as you know, because we've talked about it in the past, I'm a little skeptical about the Ouija board. I know there's some science to why that happens. When using it, they've done some pretty interesting experiments. But I'm not confident enough in the fact to actually buy a Ouija board and play with it to find out for myself. Now, I did, when I was younger, play with a Ouija board, and some weird stuff happened. But I don't know. That could just have been me. But I choose not to mess with it. Why somebody would want to put it on the roof or whatever, I guess, you know, it'd be a good tourist attraction, you know, having the Guinness Book of World Records, the largest Ouija
board.
Yeah,
that is good. That would be. I personally don't like to mess with those kind of things. You just, you know, you're opening Pandora's box. I don't know if it's true or not, but why open something up that you can't close, you know? I just don't. If it's not, you know, if it's not of God's white light and a positive note and of love and compassion, I don't want to go there myself, so.
Yeah, and I've always said that I've got enough in my life going on to be concerned about and to work towards and goals and dreams and all that, that to have some sort of spiritual consequences from something like that, it's just, I don't have the time or energy for that.
Yeah, exactly.
I got enough going on in my life.
Yep, that's how I feel too. Yeah, the scientists are talking about that our mobile phones are reducing our brain power. You know, for all the radiation and everything that's leaking. You know, they say that when you put the phone on your ear, you know, there's a higher evidence of brain cancer. And that I can believe because, you know, where all that electricity, where are all those waves going to, you know? So when I try and talk, personally. I try and talk with a speakerphone so it's not right close to your head.
It's interesting you mention that because I read a story a few days ago. And hidden in all your phones, whether it be an iPhone or Android, and you can get online to figure out how to find it, but apparently it's kind of difficult to find somewhere in the settings, hidden deep within the recesses of your phone, is actual a warning about the cell phone usage and that you should hold it like 3 inches away from your head and blah, 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 blah. But it's so hidden, nobody ever thinks about it, you know.
Oh, is that what they said, 3 inches?
That was something like 2 to 3 inches and away from your skin. But, you know, so the cell phone manufacturers are obviously aware of it, and they're just not making it super clear to people of the risks. I don't know if – I personally don't know of any definitive studies that tell of the consequences. I've heard some citations regarding the risks of it, I don't use a cell phone enough to really warrant being worried about my brain or anything like that, but I do keep it in my pocket. So if I end up with some, you know, funky leg cancer or something like that, that's probably why.
Funky. No, it's the radiation is leaking somewhere. So, yeah, you got to be careful. I don't know. I just could feel it, you know, myself. I could feel there's you know, the waves are, you know, I don't know. But, you know, it's just, I think it's overuse. I think that's where it's at is, you know, if you're overusing and constantly on the phone, that can be really be some brain damage over time.
Well, and you got to remember, even if you're not using your phone, your cell phone is intermittently transmitting to the towers and stuff like that. So you don't have to be actually on the phone. And it's funny because this reminds me of a story, and I think I mentioned it a long time ago, probably 100 episodes back on Paranormal Horizons. But I was doing a paranormal investigation, and we had one of those K2 meters. Those are the ones that light up, you know, that you hold when there's a lot of electromagnetic radiation. And like on the ghost shows, when you watch it, you ask a question of the ghost, and it lights up for yes or no and all that. And so I was conducting an investigation in this apartment and was asking the questions with this K2 meter. And it was lighting up in accordance with the questions. And we were going, oh, my God, you know, this is when I was new to paranormal investigating. You know, we've made contact with the other side, the K2 meter. Well, me being Mr. Skeptical, I eventually figured out, well, it didn't take me very long. I figured it out within minutes. What it was the cell phones that we had were intermittently transmitting, and it was causing the meter to go off.
Oh, wow.
So that just is evidence of the energy that's emitted by your phone. So that's always something to think about. And for paranormal investigators out there, you should really always have your phones turned off, or even better, just don't take your cell phones, because I've actually seen it was actually last night. I was watching a video of the Clown Hotel, which is in, I think it was Arizona. I think Ghost Adventures went there, and it's a super creepy hotel in the middle of nowhere, and it's called the Clown Hotel, and some people were there, and they were in the gift shop, which has all these scary clowns, and they had their cell phones out, and they put this K2 meter by this doll, and it was going off, and they were tripping out, you know, that there was a ghost in this one particular doll. And I'm just thinking to myself, it's your cell phones, people, because you got to put your cell phones away. It completely tarnishes any sort of potential evidence that you may have. And so I thought that was funny, and that was just last night. I was kind of giggling over it, going, oh, my God.
People believe that kind of stuff, too, huh?
Yeah, and it's oftentimes the simplest things that people aren't aware of or they don't think about is one, and that's just a perfect example when conducting investigations, is the emissions from your cell phone.
Right, that makes sense. What about you know, what about recorders? Does that have anything to do with it? I don't know. Would recorders have something to do with that too?
No, I haven't found anything else that really makes it go off. Now, the one thing that we did find is that probably the worst offender in terms of ridiculous amounts of radiation are alarm clocks, almost universally.
Really?
The way, you know, background.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you're always going to have kind of this background. Well, not always, but anytime you're around anything electric, it's always going to create electromagnetic field, right? And typically, it's measured in what's called Gauss. I think it's GAUSS. And typically, it would be like, you know, 0.03, 0.01, 0.02. But if you take that meter and you put it, not the Mel meter, you actually have to have a better one that actually tells you how much milligauss that you're getting. It can be in the thousands, not
wow.
fractions.
And you're saying that alarm clock is the worst, huh?
It is universally the worst. In fact, out of every alarm clock I've checked, it's always been ridiculous. And the reason that's important is because people usually have their alarm clocks near their head, you know, near
exactly.
their bed.
Exactly.
And so there are studies that have shown that high levels of this electromagnetic radiation can cause all sorts of things, even make people believe that there's ghosts by giving them creepy feelings, or, you know, there's been some evidence of other detrimental effects to these high levels. And of course, that's just one of the things that nobody thinks about.
That's interesting. That's good to know that. I have one of those old fashioned where, you know, it looks like the bells and goes ding, 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 like that. That's what I have.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about like
battery operated kind.
Yeah, I'm talking digital alarm clocks.
Yeah, those are the ones. Yeah, I'm just saying that I have the old fashioned one, so I won't be near that kind of stuff. That's good. Good to hear that.
The other ways that you can really get high levels of that sort of thing is poorly shielded wiring, breaker boxes, you know, anything that's pulling a lot of juice. So, but none of that even remotely comes close to the levels that I found coming from alarm clocks. And I don't know why that is.
And I heard microwaves are very, very dangerous, too, because of the radiation. And they advise the health people, you know, the ones that are, you know, into health and everything, wellness, they advise to throw away your microwaves.
I didn't find anything crazy. I don't think I've ever tested it. That's, I think, is a different kind of radiation. I did hear that microwaves are outlawed in Russia. And it's scary because I cook virtually everything I eat in a microwave. So if I end up having some sort of blastoma in my brain or whatever, it's probably because I, you know, eating too many microwave burritos.
Well, you know, the society has gone to the point where it's just quick and easy and everything is so processed that, you know, and this is something we can talk with, you know, conspiracy theorists like Barry Gantz or somebody, but, you know, these food that these big corporations from Nestle's to Kraft, you know, they know what the ingredients are in the food. They make them addictive, and I think we discussed this in one of the shows, but they make them so addictive that, and they put so much poison in the food, you wonder why that there's such a high epidemic of cancer and all kinds of things, diseases and everything. Even 20, 30 years ago, you didn't come up with, you know, what is it, ADHD or, you know, all these attention deficit disorders and all these other things, dementia, Alzheimer's and things like that. So it makes me wonder if the GMO, even the foods that we pick off the stores, you know, that unless they're organic, it's crazy.
So much yeah, like
go ahead.
Oh, I try and buy. I've been buying all my groceries at Trader Joe's, which isn't necessarily the healthier option with a lot of the foods, but they tend to have a lot less preservatives.
I shop at Trader Joe's myself too, and they've got a good variety. It's very good. You have a very good variety of food, and you're right. They have less preservatives. You know, it's a good balance between organic and going to, you know, or we go store like Safeway or, you know, Albertsons or something like that. But it's crazy how these big companies are trying to poison us. It's terrible.
They have these delicious, you know, because I work at night, I take a frozen microwavable dinner to work, and they have these delicious, like, Indian foods, which are great. But I'm looking at the clock here. We're just about out of time. We were all over the map tonight. We were hitting everything up tonight. But now we were talking a little bit before the show about who our next guest is, and it sounded really exciting to me. So who do we got next week?
Well, next guest will be, his name is David Haddon. He has 42 years experience as a paramedic, not EMT. There's a difference. A paramedic has more schooling, I think a couple more years of schooling compared to the EMT. He's going to talk about accidents and deaths, his 42 years of experience of the different accidents and confrontations of death in front of him. And he's also going to be returning in October. He is also a cemetery in his hobby. He's also a cemetery photographer. He's a historical and gravesite cemetery photographer, and he likes to talk about symbolism. He's learned a lot about the different symbolisms in the cemetery traditions and cultures and things like that. So we're going to have him next week and talk about accidents and deaths.
That sounds interesting and
exciting.
I'm kind of interested to talk about that. But with that, we are out of time. So I want to thank everybody for listening. And unless you have anything else, Sherry, we'll close it out. I want to thank everybody for listening on Blog Talk Radio on 106.5 KITC FM and 107.1 KNCP. And we'll be back next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, if you're listening on Blog Talk. And then when are we rebroadcast on the radio stations? Thursday?
Every Thursday night from 7:30 to 8:30. So a lot of folks, I take it 4th of July weekend, so they're probably not home. So they're probably out visiting or out to the coast or out somewhere. But, yes, you can catch our show for tonight on Thursday night and at 7:30 to 8:30.
All righty. Well, I hope everybody has a good and safe 4th of July. I know I'm working the 4th of July. So that's what I'm doing, but hope everybody has some good fun, enjoy some fireworks, and we'll see everybody next Sunday and Thursday.
All right. Good night. Take care, everybody. Have a nice week. Be safe. Have fun. Peace.
Good night, everyone.